Well, congregation, we have the privilege this evening once again of being before the Word of God. I would invite us to open our Bible then to Romans chapter 13. Romans 13. Our focus and attention there will be on the verses 8 through 10 of Romans 13, 8 through 10. Then also this evening again to the Heidelberg Catechism. At Lord's Day 2, you'll find that on page 23 in the back of our Psalter hymnal, the second Lord's Day. We'll note as we go there the comments and the words made about the sections of the Heidelberg Catechism. We're beginning this evening the first part, about which we learned in the introduction there are three. And so we began, as we'll see both from Romans and the Heidelberg Catechism, that we began a study of man's sin and misery. Again, trusting that we are all convinced that these are the things the church needs both to know and boldly proclaim. And so again, this evening, dear congregation, now the Word of God as we have it in Romans chapter 13 and at verse 8. Owe no one anything except to love one another. For he who loves one another has fulfilled the law. For the commandments, you shall not commit adultery, you shall not murder, you shall not steal, you shall not bear false witness, you shall not covet. And if there is any other commandment, are all summed up in this saying, namely, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. Love does no harm to a neighbor. Therefore, love is the fulfillment of the law. So far, beloved, the Word of God, let's turn our attention then to the summary of the teaching of God's Word as we have it tonight. The Heidelberg Catechism, Lord's Day 2. And those three questions that need answers from us tonight. And the first one on page 23 is this one. Whence do you know your misery? Out of the law of God. What does the law of God require of us? Christ teaches that in a summary, Matthew 22:37-40, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul and with all thy mind. This is the great and first commandment, and a second like unto it is this, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. On these two commandments the whole law hangeth, and the prophets. Can you keep all this perfectly? In no wise, for I am prone by nature to hate God and my neighbor. These things, dearly beloved, the Word of God does teach, and therefore we do believe. Let's come now again and ask His help this evening. Let's pray. Our Father, once again, we notice and are joyful for the wisdom that You have given to our fathers in the faith before us, that we would have this careful and very clear summary of an issue many this day, as perhaps in days before ours, would deny. And Lord, we pray that You'd help us so to understand the misery of man, that we might then come to have an understanding of the glories of the gospel. We believe the two go intimately together. And we pray, Lord, that You'd strengthen us in that belief this evening, and by Your Spirit give us rich in simple clarity. For this we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, dear congregation of the Lord Jesus Christ, it is very important to be brutally honest about hate. Hate here is the opposite of love. We need to grasp, however, how comprehensive and how universal hate is. We saw the word here in the Heidelberg Catechism. Maybe the first time we noticed it, it surprised us a little bit, but we all just recited it together this evening. That word, which unfortunately, due to no small degree, to a kind of rampant political correctness in our day, has grown to be grossly misused. A word, hate, that the Bible is not timid to use. Children, we were born as haters. And only when we are reborn by the grace of Jesus Christ are we able to love anything or anyone other than me, myself, and I. This text in Lord's Day will force us to engage in a sustained examination of hatred. And as we will see, this is exactly the type of sustained examination needed in our day. Beloved, a careful examination by the law shows the hatred which fills man. A careful examination by the law shows the hatred which fills man. Notice then the following four things of instruction for us tonight. First, the law is the perfect x-ray machine for man's heart. Secondly, man needs the law to diagnose his hatred. Third, man's hatred is shown in how he treats others. And fourth, which is the outworking of how he hates God. So, beloved, note again this evening. A careful examination by the law shows the hatred which fills man. And so the first thing to give attention to is in the significance of the objective nature of the law. The law is the perfect x-ray machine for man's heart. You will notice that in both our text and this Lord's Day, there is a very close connection made between the law and love. This is because the law of God requires that we love. Therefore, the law, God's law, functioning as an examination tool to peer into us, notices a variety of things related to that word we use so very frequently, love. That law then peers in to examine our motivations, out of which flow our love. The law looks at our desires. It looks at our internal planning. It examines our dreams, our goals, our purposes. It says, these are the things that make you tick in terms of what you love and what you hate. The law does that. Children, when the law tells us to not do this or that, it is telling us that doing those things would be examples of hatred. Therefore, how people act, obeying or disobeying God's law, shows if they love or hate. Now, why is it that it is so important that at this point we be so very basic? It is because we live more and more in a sin-twisted definition of good and bad. A world that has begun to twist ever more what it means when we say those words, good and bad. We'll come back to that in a little while. But to put this in simplest terms first this evening, beloved, God's law is the perfect standard by which to properly evaluate the heart of any person in terms of loving and in terms of hating, but especially to properly evaluate, dear Christians, our own heart. This x-ray machine is the first, most important diagnostic tool available to us, dear congregation. We are able to see its use, the x-ray machine of the law, we can see its use even in such simple times when we're walking through Target or Costco or Kohl's. And there's that child acting out, but the parent refusing to correct, refraining from discipline. The child, we would say, in breaking the fifth commandment, shows a hatred. We'll understand that to be immediately or firstly a hatred toward the rules of the parent. It will eventually be shown to be a hatred for the rules of God. We'll get to that in a little bit. But it's not only the child in violating the fifth commandment, but it is, beloved, the parent in violating the sixth commandment by refusing to discipline is also showing hatred. Now, maybe we can assume the best about such parents and say, well, they're going to not spare the rod at home and in private. And that would be perhaps the most generous way to think of such an event that maybe we all have witnessed in a public setting like that. But dearly beloved, make no mistake about it. The law of God works to reveal. It works to define something about the heart. Considering, pondering violations of God's law is unpleasant, children. It is unpleasant, but we need a very clear definition of misery, or there will be a great lack of clarity about the need for Jesus Christ. It really does come down to something so basic and simple as this. The X-ray machine of God's law always brings the same diagnoses of one outside of the union with Christ, and that diagnosis is always a spiritual death. This is where the catechism begins. The law of God diagnosing us, giving a diagnosis of death. We need to understand, secondly, that man needs the law to do that. Man needs the law to diagnose his hatred. Now, Paul is wrestling with this, but he is doing so in a positive way, which we're going to pick up on in a moment. He says something, by the way, in verse 8 that really should grab hold of us and almost shock us, because it's a bit of a play on words here. Oh, no one anything except. We're going to get to the except in a moment. But what he is dealing with here, of course, is that symbiotic relationship, that wonderful harmonious working, that connectedness of law and love. Some of you, when you put those words together, are already thinking of particular Bible verses. We're going to mention at least a couple of those as we go along a little bit this evening. But it is of great importance that we understand these points. The Catechism is directing us at least in two ways this evening. The question is this: where do we learn about our misery? The answer from God's law. Now notice this, that what the Catechism is saying here, that the law reveals our hatred, our sin, our death, could be something learned by a single individual human being alone on a deserted Pacific island. Such a man or a woman could be all by themselves on that island with nobody around, and the law of God would reveal to their hearts that they are a sinner. But here's the glorious help of other people. Most people live in society, which points us to the other way this Lord's Day makes it clear that we need God's law. Society is constantly trying to redefine good. The cultural idea, children, of good and bad, love and hate, the cultural idea, the societal idea, will always come from powerful, unbelieving, demonic sources and will always be opposed to the Word of God. Therefore, cultural definitions and standards will never lead to a true diagnosis of the hateful condition of man's heart. Take just by one example, verse 9 of Romans 13. Just one of the laws. You shall not bear false witness. And compare that for a moment to how often in TV shows, Netflix series, all kinds of movies, that exactly the opposite is portrayed. That what is portrayed in our societal and cultural norms is how to use lying to get ahead in life. How to make something for yourself. How to get into a relationship or how to get out of a relationship that you don't like. Beloved, we must not assume, we must never assume that cultural norms of anything, money, sex, power, tolerance, justice, or any other thing will help people to know their misery and thus their need for salvation. It will not. Culture will not in these terms. For this, you see, we need the law of God. And we need to be ready to be bold in proclaiming it. Now, if you were a fly in the wall, a bird looking in the window to the catechism class just recently, you would have noticed that we have just been going through in catechism that section in the canons of Dort that deal with both total depravity and its result, total inability. We have seen this death of man, men and women who are out of Christ being the living dead in terms of an inherited condition which works itself out in choices that people make regularly, daily. But it is shown here to us to be the death that the Word of God makes very plain and clear by the law. Now, we are going to say it again and say it very simply. Children, this fallen society and its ever-changing standards and norms will never help people to know their great need for Jesus Christ. Dear congregation, it is the world the church has always lived in, and it will be the church, the world the church lives in until Jesus Christ returns. I don't need to mention all the various and particular issues that that could be exampled by in our current day and age. You perhaps know them. But the summary of it, the substance of it, is given to us in this. Society seeks to bury true hatred, under a pile of gross false loves. Those many false loves, stinking fruit, like be tolerant of that group. Be accepting of every lifestyle, do actually block people from hearing by God's law what is real love and real hate. Now, why all of this? Because of what the apostle is saying here. Owe no one anything except to love one another. The need now is for the church, for Christians, for us to again be law lovers. Psalm 119, verse 97, to say to everybody by our actions and with our words, oh, how I love God's law. That is what your neighbor needs from you. Or they will never hear what comes next out of your mouth. And I love Jesus Christ. Thirdly, man's hatred is shown in how he treats others. Now, we've been saying, and it needed to be said first, that the law is the standard. There are other things to be said about the law. It has different functions and different uses. The catechism will get that to that later on. By the time we enter the third section, and beloved, notice this, that the explanation of and the working out of all of the commandments comes not here early on, but later in the third section of the Heidelberg Catechism, which will be very beneficial for us when we get there. But for now, we need to understand the law as the standard by which every heart is judged. And we are going to begin to make this evening some comparisons to engage in analysis. Once we've established the baseline, children, man's behavior is evaluated. Man's behavior is evaluated in comparison to God's law. Love is shown by obedience to God's law. And yes, it should be John 14:15. John 14:15 and 23. And disobedience is the display of hatred. But we have to be gripped by how often that disobedience, that hatred is displayed. And the apostle reveals that to us here in such simple words. Love does no harm. Just ponder the weight of those few words for a moment this evening. Notice it again at verse 10. Love does. That is to say, for the Christian, for the church, it is never enough to speak in terms of love as being merely an emotion. Here the apostle is saying something much more fulsome about love. Love does. Love births an action. It is an action. It is living. It's doing. In this case, he says, love does no harm to a neighbor. Do we begin to see here, dearly beloved, at verse 10? This is another way of the apostle, in summary form, saying that obedience to God's commandments is a way that man does no harm to his neighbor. Love of the commandments is that kind of love, showing obedience to the commandments, that keeps man from hurting one another. If it all were so simple, right? Is that what we saw in Adam the first? Think of his children. Lord's Day 2 of the Catechism is striving, beloved, to convince all who read it of man's total depravity by revealing man's total inability. Notice question and answer 5. Can you keep all this perfectly? And then notice the wisdom of this answer. No. And two things next. No. By nature, being, so I am in Adam the first. I do, I hate. Or as the catechism class learned again this past week, man, people sin because they are sinners. So back to verse 8 of Romans 13. And something of great significance that the apostle is saying here. Verse 8 could be read as if it is saying this, owe no one anything except everything. Do you get that? Owe no one anything except everything. Because you see, beloved, love is everything. Love your neighbor. Some of us might have a basic question at this point in the back of our minds. Who is my neighbor? And when children, we have a basic question like that about who is my neighbor. We remember what Scripture teaches us. Jesus answered that question with the accounting. It's not a parable. Doesn't say that. But with rather the accounting of what we call the Good Samaritan incident in Luke chapter 10. Who is the one who is neighborly there? The one who showed mercy. And that mercy was not cheap. Why is it important to mention at this point? Aren't we trying to understand total depravity and its resulting total inability in humans in general? Why mention that accounting of the Lord's in Luke chapter 10? It is important because we, beloved, you and I, are far more likely to act like the priest and the Levite who got to the other side of the road and looked down their noses and walked past, we're far more likely to act like they than we perhaps would be willing to admit. And knowing our own sins, children, knowing our own sins, children, is so very important. Because we must always believe that we are no better ourselves than an unbeliever. This is a world shift. This is a way of renewing how we think. It does, you see, it does truly matter that we know that, so that we can connect with them. Fulfilling the law of love to all kinds of neighbors, because we will bump into all kinds of neighbors every day. Fulfilling the law of love begins with us opening our mouths and telling them of the Lord of love. And so we see, fourthly, that man's hatred is shown in how he treats others, which is the outworking of how he hates God. And again, the catechism in its simplistic wisdom. I am prone by nature to hate God and my neighbor. And this is where things get really serious. Actions, behaviors toward other people do reveal what the person believes about God. You see, dearly beloved, what the Apostle Paul here, as he is explaining obedience, what he is not doing here in Romans 13 is he is not saying that the first table of the law no longer matters. But you see, he says, this is what the law teaches, and this is how love is defined. And then he gives what we call the second table of the law. But he is not by that setting aside the first table, but rather by the inspiration of God, the Holy Spirit. He is saying that our obedience to the second table of the law reveals the one whom we serve. Our obedience to the second table, the neighbor word commandments, the human word commandments, says everything needing to be known about our Godward relationship. Or to put it differently, loving God is shown by loving neighbor. Loving God is shown by loving neighbor. Children, obeying God's commandments by loving our neighbors is fulfilling the law. It is loving God. And therefore, we need to consider, indeed, how serious are the sins of man against man. Think of it again in this way, in remembering Adam and his sons. Do you remember what it was Cain did to Abel? Do we understand that to be a violation, not only of those manward commandments, but a violation of those Godward commandments? We would say this evening, if I were to query you and quiz you, we would say, yes, of course I believe that. We would probably say that's the most obvious thing that Scripture says from cover to cover. But beloved, here's the point. We live more and more in a society which no longer believes, in fact, is actively rejecting these things. And you will go out this week and you will live among them. Everything being done and addressed and spoken of in these days is done so merely in humanistic terms. This is the result of a worldview sucked clear of any clear teaching of who God is. These three verses of Romans 13 really are, and perhaps you've been noticing this, very simple indeed. This is not complex biblical doctrine. In Lord's Day 2, the Catechism reflects that simplicity. How is man to know his misery and his need for Jesus Christ? Well, by the law. How? By being shown that hating our neighbor is hating God. And this, dearly beloved, the world in which we live could learn and know more of. This hatred, children, known also as sin, will absolutely be the cause of all those who do so hate ending up in hell. Now, once that is believed, and it needs to be believed first, then will our neighbor listen up as we begin to speak about Jesus Christ. Until that is heard in clear and simple terms from the church, we should not expect it to be known in the world. And if you haven't picked up on it yet, let's put it now this way. Here, the Word of God and the Catechism informs and arms our evangelism. Did you realize that even in that first summary that we got in question and answer to of Lord's Day 1, that there was a wondrous, simple outline for evangelism? And why is it so simple and beneficial? Well, of course we say it's because this is what the Word of God teaches. And yes, that's true. But make the next step. Because this is what the Word of God teaches, when the Spirit works in somebody's heart, when you are addressing that person, this will, the Word of God, will connect. When you see somebody hating their neighbor at work, when you see somebody angry about what somebody else has done to them, and you go up to them and you say to them, and I don't know, would we be bold enough to say this? And say to them that your hatred for the other person is revealing your hatred toward God. Once they get over the shock factor that you actually said that to them, they might just want to know more. What do you mean? Well, the commandments say that we're to love one another. How? As Christ loved us and gave himself for us. Amen. Our Father, we thank you that you've given to us such a wonderful opportunity to speak, to address, and in loving ways to confront. You tell us to speak the truth in love, by which there we understand we are to speak to all people the truth in a loving way. But Heavenly Father, we pray that you'd help us to speak the truth, even in terms of what hatred one man for the other, one person for the other, even in rather subtle ways, shows a hatred for you. Oh Lord, help us to love your law so that we might have a growing love for the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ in us and to see it in others. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, dear Congress.